It's Delaney.
And it's Katie. This is Classically Black Podcast,
where we talk all things classical music and being black in the profession.
With trap beats playing in the background. Happy Beyonce weekend.
Hey, y'all.
And period. Jesus weekend.
Oh, right.
Not over.
I'm avoiding because I have to cook. So
you have to what?
Cook.
Oh, you have to cook.
He lives, though. Yay. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay. I'm excited.
No, a slice of lightning come down.
Right. Like, he playing if he wants to. He love a little razzle dazzle. He love my a little bad. One too.
My bad.
Okay, girl. He love a play with me if he wants to.
I'm not playing with. Listen, I've been through enough.
I'm telling you, when Toby went up in season 7, when he went up to that cross and he was like, why are you so mean to me in the office? I was like, yeah. Well, Toby kind of sucks, but no, don't do that, because I feel like, because I'm constantly watching The Office, and it's like, the more you realize that Toby's actually a little bit of a villain, what are you doing? That girl is engaged.
Oh, well, yeah, that part of it, yeah.
I kind of feel bad because, like, the parts I do feel bad because, like, what's Michael be doing?
Yeah. And it's like, you are an HR nightmare. Like, so, like, of course, that would be his arch nemesis.
Yeah. Like, don't die, Stanley. Barack is president. Like, the whole. I understand why Steve Carell does not watch that show. He said he doesn't watch it, and I get it. I would not watch it either. Like, yeah, never watch it again, and don't make your kids watch it. It's insane. He's brilliant though, absolutely brilliant. Anyway,
let's get into the news this week. Okay, so Cincinnati Symphony has just appointed Shaku Kenna Mason as their music innovator for 2024. He's going to be leading some master classes with local students, as well as making his concerto debut with the CSO. So as music innovator, he is also going to be holding a year-long residency that is designed to highlight the work of Black leaders in the classical music world. I was like, okay, y'all want a little live podcast for that?
Right.
You know, if you live in Cincinnati, go ahead and write them.
Loudly.
Period. A little free concert talk. Turn it up. Period. Oh my God. Sorry, y'all. See? Okay. That was God. I was playing with him just a second ago.
See
how quick that whipped around? That's crazy.
He better now than. Better now than later.
I'm packing me up already. One thing about this, I mean, it says that when he's doing his CSO debut, it's going to be the Shostakovich cello concerto, which I was like, I got no Black composers, right? Cello concerto? If that's the aim of the partnership, that would be nice, but hopefully
there has to be, especially what's that dude who loved, he wrote a lot of stuff, the British one.
Which one?
This is crazy. SCT.
Cole Shaler. I don't know, but I'm sure somebody got one. But well, keep an eye out, and hopefully there's some more things on the docket for them to highlight Black leaders in classical music, as they have stated is the purpose of the residency. So but nonetheless, congratulations to him. We're looking forward to seeing what y'all cook up. Speaking of cooking up things, friend of the show and guest, maybe about 2 years ago, I guess, Angelique Montez.
Hey, Angelique. I just saw Angelique in Louisville. Hey, girl.
She just announced a new project called Resonance, a multicultural cello method. And so her and a few other private cello teachers were looking for some music that was more representative of their students. So in order to fill the gap that they were seeing in the repertoire, they created a method that teaches cello using authentic folk tunes from historically excluded traditions and melodies from works by BIPOC and women composers. So the method is going to be a set of books ranging from beginner to advanced that will include solo pieces, ensemble works, piano accompaniments, and recordings. So yeah, shout out to them making, you know, some of that music more accessible to the kids and all that type of stuff, because I feel like that's something that I think we talked about a couple weeks ago with that new publishing thing that Earshot is doing. Like, they're hiring some BIPOC composers to create music that is like, it's across a range, but one of the things they was focusing on was youth orchestra, having more things from beginners so that they can be familiar with these composers before they turn 30. So like, a lot of people have to discover later on in life. So yeah, shout out to them. I will link their website so you can learn more about them and how you can get in contact with them if, you know, you want to keep tabs on what they got going on. And then there's also a conference going on called Celebrating Women Luthiers International Exhibit. It's going to be held during May and June of this year. And it has just announced the locations. It's going to be multiple locations for this event. So hopefully y'all can make it out. It's an event that will celebrate the contributions that women make to, apparently the field is called luthiery. I've never heard that. And it's with an IE and not a Y. I don't know. Highlighting the often overlooked craft of female luthiers from all over the world. So it's going to travel. The exhibit is going to travel to Potter Violins in Washington, D.C. between May 3rd and 11th. And then it will be hosted by Reuning and Son Violins in New York from June 3rd to June 9th. And then lastly, Sap Violins in Batavia, Illinois, from July 13th to 19th. So, D.C., New York, Illinois, get ready. There's a lot of participating luthiers. I'll, of course, link the information in the description so that you can even learn about some of these folks, where they work, if they're near you, if you want to, you know, support, even if you can't attend the exhibit. That would be kind of cute, but I mean, nowhere near me. So
yeah,
if you where's Batavia?
It's a suburb. It's not a suburb. It's,
is it like near?
Yeah, it's near Chicago. In the same time zone. Okay, Batavia's kind of far out. It's not even a suburb, to be honest. No T to Batavia, but it's like in the Chicagoland area. There we go.
And then last but not least, and actually no, last and least, because it requires me to read from the New York Post, which I try my darndest not to do if possible. I saw this thing come across my TL and it says, NYC's Metropolitan Opera puts trigger warning on Puccini masterpiece Turandot. Is that how you say that?
Turandot, something like that.
Okay, that's what I thought, but I don't know. In bow to woke culture. That's the headline.
Wokesters!
I forgot about wokesters.
Our people! Yeah!
Go Wokesters!
We need a cheer. We need a chant. I will be spending my week doing that. Thank you very much.
The first sentence of the article is, they're striking a chord with the woke crowd. Striking a chord. They love a good music pun whenever they write something about music.
Oh my God.
Striking a chord with the woke crowd is crazy. So basically, the Met added something in their program notes online. It says here, informing audiences that the 1926 masterpiece set in ancient China could be offensive. So the program note says, quote, "It is rife with contradictions, distortions, and racial stereotypes. And it promises, quote, a discussion of the opera's cultural insensitivities." Let's pull over. I still don't know where exactly I land on stuff where y'all have these classics or whatever from the canon that you want to do, and you add these things, you tack them on, and like I understand the concept, because I don't know, I'm not gonna say that this is their motivation behind it. I understand the concept of not presenting these things without context, as y'all have done for many, many years before,
literally every year except for this one.
So I understand that might be the reasoning behind it, but if it's rife with all of this, all these insensitivities and for racial stereotypes, and it's so terrible, why are you still doing it?
Right.
That's what y'all won't stop at. And I'm not trying to say that for this opera, because I've never seen it, so I don't know. I'm not really an opera girl. I'll go see if they do, you know, one of the black operas. I'll go see that, and I've seen, I don't know, maybe a couple outside of that. But just in general, like, I just feel like I don't really even know if I see sincerity and stuff like that, because it's like you were never gonna stop doing the opera because it's very popular. So just say that.
Just like on Disney, when you on Disney like Plus or whatever, like a lot of them old school Disney movies, there's content warnings. Mm. At the beginning of like Dumbo and stuff like that, like they're not gonna pull it
with the Jim Crow. That's crazy. They were crazy for that.
They're not gonna pull it from the, cause what you could do, but that would be pulling a lot of their stuff.
Which I heard they did edit some of them.
Oh, for real? I didn't hear that.
Yeah. Mm. I think so.
They would have to edit some stuff out. I mean, yeah, a lot of it's very racist. So, like most of it. I mean, Walt Disney himself. So, among other things.
Like, so that's why I'm just kind of like, y'all was never going to stop doing it. So it's just like, y'all just threw that in there to be a little, just for some razzle dazzle. The note also says, it shouldn't be surprising that many audience members of Chinese descent find it difficult to watch, as their own heritage is co-opted, fetishized, or painted as savage, bloodthirsty, or backwards. I'm like, on y'all stage, like, y'all dragging this man, but y'all still playing opera.
Right.
So what's the truth? You know, like, maybe, I don't know, like, if y'all can see, I don't know, there's some stuff that's like, when I see like problematic stuff that's being presented to an audience, I would also like to see y'all articulate the value of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise, why are you doing it? Yeah. It's like, you have to, I feel like if you also, you kind of owe a justification in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe people think this justifies itself, which I'm sure they do, but like, not everybody that goes to the opera is just like, feels that inherently all this stuff has value. So I do feel like the program notes are not necessarily, I mean, there should be a balance so that everybody can like read them and take something from it, but at the end of the day, like, they're not just for people who are big into opera. So there needs to be some explanation around that. Like, why did y'all still choose to stage it?
Especially, there's so many other, I'm like, Madame Butterfly is also very controversial. Everybody knows it. It's on y'all stages every year. There's other opera. That's the thing. Like, I remember talking about this in something I'm doing for, that's so vague. I'm writing something. And I remember talking about, like, I had to clarify a quote that I got from someone about orchestras being inherently racist, and the editor was like, "You just talk more about this." And I was like, "Sure," and it's like, there's a lot of reasons for that, but one of the main things that are so interesting to me about American orchestras is how, like, American orchestras, American ballet, American latte squazé, doesn't really matter. They don't do American stuff. Like, very rarely. I mean, the most American we finna get is Copeland, and the most American we have gotten since 2020 has been Black composers. So outside of like Florence Price and William Grant Still and Copeland, y'all don't play American composers. And I mean, Memphis Symphony, I feel like Bob does a good job of programming American composers, Memphis composers, but that's very, very rare. And so instead of being like, why don't y'all make somebody else write an opera? Why don't y'all explore what the Americanness, what Americanness looks like in classical music? That's why this idea of Americanness is so lost. That's why y'all got Beyonce up in arms, because it's like you're so confused by the fact that like Black people are in these spaces, because like I feel like even to Americans, Americanness looks a certain way to, and it's like we should just do European stuff instead. So there's a plethora of, first of all, how many operas are you doing? Unless you're actually one of the big companies like Houston Grand Opera, San Francisco, whatever, the Met, you're not pressed to put more than four or five shows up a season. Mm-hmm. So you can, out of that, commission a new opera. Do American operas. Do ones that aren't laced with racism and tomfoolery. It's possible. You just don't want to do it.
I was about to say, it's too much to ask.
Like, you still doing this one, you still doing Madame Butterfly, y'all still playing Wagner, I don't even know his name, I had to find it in my brain, still playing Wagner, and it's like, oh my god, we're so sorry, we know he was like a Nazi, but we were gonna play it anyway. Excuse me? And like, and then, but then the wokesters get dragged, because we're like, we got the audacity to question it. It doesn't make sense. So before you provide disclaimers, be like, you know, we really love low racism teas. Feel free not to come if it bothers you. That's way more sincere.
Yeah, because they called it, well, first of all, 3 hours and 20 minutes is crazy.
Who was that again? Puccini. Oh, they love it. They not packing him up
at all.
we could really stop. We can start a conversation right now. They're not packing up Puccini.
They called it a problematic masterpiece.
As in,
you know what? That's what I'm gonna start calling fine men with terrible personalities. A problematic masterpiece.
No, what you're talking about is an epidemic. we're on different pages. You're calling a problem.
And this is so funny because, I mean, I won't be more linking this. I will link the program note. I will not link the article because I refuse to have a New York Post link in the description of one of our episodes. Even the people to, the New York Post, is conservative leaning.
Oh, is it?
Quite, yeah.
They like, got a paywall, so I don't really be over there.
I mean, even the headline, like, they be having headlines like that. Like, don't surprise me coming from the Post. Bows to woke mob, like very
woke mob. There was a mob of people outside of a classical music institution. Yeah. A mob. You know what a mob is? A mob. You know, have you seen a mob? I don't even think we've seen a mob in our lifetime. You know what a mob is? The French Revolution. That's a mob. Everybody left their house and got Marie Antoinette's head removed.
Oh, that's wait. It's a woke culture. It's a woke culture. But that's up their alley. That's up their alley. Okay. For sure. Bows to woke culture. Even the people they quoted this lady. They found an 88-year-old soprano. When was the last time she opened her mouth to sing a note? Respectfully. Like y'all dug up somebody that y'all knew was gonna agree with you.
Dug up
who was like, she said, I've never heard of any such warning on any opera ever. Okay, girl, can you even still hear?
I'm like, girl, you were there when they made the first opera. First of all, secondly, you probably think the good old days when the Black people had to go through the back door.
It wasn't even allowed in there, really.
Right, so.
When it was, you know what, let me not say
it. It's almost pudding time at Shady Groves, girl. Go back to your business.
Shady Groves. gosh, you know who else they quoted? They quoted freaking Norman LeBrecht from Slipdisc, known bigot.
Oh, see, I wouldn't even read no more.
Like, I remember because I was, for that other thing I'm doing, I was looking up some stuff in a Slipdisc thing came up when I was looking at, when that whole thing was going on with tenure for Josh in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. And the title, the headline that was on Slipdisc was Sacked Percussionist that's the only thing I remember about it. That's only, it was something, it was like claims race is a factor or something. It was sacked. I remember vividly Sacked Percussionist. Yeah. I'm like, so he just, and then he don't write articles. Wasting
your time with racism. Second City needs you. Sacked Percussionist is so ridiculous. Upright Citizen Brigade needs you. SNL needs you. You're wasting your time with bigotry. Please send in a packet.
He said that the program note is manufactured racial exasperation, which, first of all, you should know about that. If you've ever been at Slipdisc, comments are a cesspool. Like, literally, just what, honestly, as far as I know, definitely the most racist place in classical music. Mm. And just like, it's, dang, it's like, I mean, because it compiles all the classical music news and all the like, and it's so like the stuff that, like, why is that your headline? And then he don't even write articles. He'll write like two sentences about something that's like clearly like, but I'm like, does he consider himself a news outlet? I don't know. I don't know what he'd be doing. He says, trigger warnings exist to cover the heightened legal anxieties of theater administrators and the lately inflated sensitivities of underpaid auxiliaries. They are bad for business and they should be scrubbed.
I don't even know where to, there's something I can say. How dare you as a white man be like inflated sensitivities? Somebody needs to just pick him up and shake him. What are you talking about?
And of course,
what he look like? What's his name?
Norman LeBrecht.
I feel a roast in my spirit.
LeBrecht. I don't know if that's how you say it. LeBrecht or LeBrecht. I don't know.
Norman.
LeBrecht. And of course, you know, they also went digging around for, I'm not gonna say the, I forget the word that means when you combine two words to make one. I forgot there's a word for it. But I'm not gonna say the one that I came up with or that I'm trying to come up with. But basically they went and found a Chinese person that went to see it so that they could say, hey, it didn't bother me, so it's okay. And so they're in the article as well saying that it's perfectly okay to be racist, and yeah, that's that. The, you know, they always find that person, even when it's like, I mean, we well aware. They just had, we've had our Candace Owens and our Stacey Dashes and our Ben Carsons, so we already know what they got going on. So
first of all, this man looked like he tried to draw Colonel Sanders from memory. I can't even say, I'm not going to even say what it's not even worth it. Right. I'm this is so many puzzling things about him. Yeah. I wish him the absolute worst. I hope he has a day he deserves.
Which, I mean, he might have fell out just right now. If he having a day he deserves.
Remember one time Peyton was listening to the episode, he was like, I just knew you were going to say best. No. I wish you the absolute worst. The absolute worst.
That's really the way it has to go. They also got a quote from known cultural critic Heather McDonald, who I don't know much about her. I feel like I've seen her name in connection to something crazy a couple years ago and just was like, oh, there they go again. She says, the curators of our great traditions are betraying the legacy that is their privilege to oversee in order to virtue signal on matters of race and identity. At some point, all of opera is going to be in an extremely precarious position because it comes from a different world, a different set of sensibilities, and the narratives are traditional. And the Met did not respond to a request for comment, which is quite understandable because they probably just don't even want their name wrapped up.
They
don't want
their name. And they got enough going on. They do not want it.
Listen. Because I did not realize that incident that happened. I didn't realize that was so recent. I don't know why I thought that was like in the mid-2000s. That was a couple years ago.
The noose?
Yeah.
Oh, they left my noose over there. I was talking to that dude. No, I can't say that. You know who I was I've been so used to describing him that way. You know what I'm talking about.
I believe so.
I was asking about it when I saw him at a festival. He was there that night when they found it. I don't know if I have the decorum to find a noose backstage, and I don't think
I'm not playing the concert.
Because I'm also gonna confront you because you left like, that's the problem. I just feel like sometimes being in classical music makes me act out of character, because I really feel like if we was really asked, you would never come up to me like, here Katie, here's a noose. So you were a coward and put it backstage, and I'm going around to each and every one of you. Okay, which one of y'all? It's funny, it's hilarious. Which one of y'all? Want to put it around your neck? I wouldn't need no personnel manager. I'm going to each and every one of y'all because that would piss me off so badly. You are a coward, you put it backstage. No, come on, let's go. Which one? That's nah, because people be taking advantage. People think, like, that's the thing that irritates me. It's like, y'all don't know how to, my chest getting tight. Y'all don't know how to act like we could pack you up. Don't let the viola fool you. We could pack you up right here. The Met would be leveled that day. Like, ain't no tenure, ain't no nothing worth it. We play instruments. Like, come on. No. That's insanity. Which one of y'all?
Because that's crazy. Like, you...
And I know it's easy to say what you would do and what that. I know I'm saying what I'm going to do. It's hilarious to you that black people were getting hung from trees? Is funny to you? Why do you even own the noose, you freaking weirdo? We in New York City, you're in the Home Depot here for 7,000 square miles. Where you find rope? You're weird and you're a coward.
Yeah. How do you even know how to tie a freaking noose?
How do you know? I'm starting with, like, no. But when I take your trombone and I make it straight, I'm gonna be the problem.
Right. I bet when I unravel your French horn, I'm in the wrong.
Now I'm the issue. Okay.
Right. Tie this up to a noose.
Like,
since you're so good with your hands,
I will rearrange all them keys on the clarinet. Blow a C and get a B flat. Like, no, I'm stepping on all them reeds. I'm unwinding every reed. We love arts and crafts. Let's go.
Easy. And in your workplace.
And then all the fingerboards coming off.
Did they even find the person?
I don't know.
I don't even think so. I think probably NYPD not. Said they was, because when I was looking at it, it said NYPD was investigating it as a hate crime, but I didn't see no update on who did it. Of course not. And it was in the locker room, so...
So there ain't no cameras back there. They knew what they was doing. How come you didn't put it on my seat? Huh?
That's crazy.
Nah, that's insane to me.
That's crazy. I mean, my whole HR lifted up the 1.5 black people that worked there. So
HR gonna be
probably business as usual. Well.
Well, what do you want us to do about it? It's just rope.
It's crazy. Anyway, Met going through it once again.
I know the Met is tired. I know they listen, their PR people do not get paid enough. I'm going to tell you that. They do not get paid enough. Whatever it is, it's not enough. The Met and Nicki Minaj's team. Well, you can tell me any number, and I'll be like, it's not enough
at all. And Kanye's.
Do Kanye even have a team anymore?
In name only. Right. I would just be like, he ain't not gonna listen to me anyway, so I'll just keep cashing my checks. And
like, you go on his website, you click on Learn About Us, and you click on the names of his personnel, and you know how Papa be like, more info coming soon. Mind you, they've been working there for 20 years.
It said Lorem Ipsum.
Ooh, Chile.
Anyway, that's the news.
So this is trend on TikTok, where the Ghanaians have been, well, it's like a filter. It really could be for anything, but the Ghanaians have been rating their dishes. And I thought I would do that for Delaney with most ridiculous classically black episode titles. So one thing I'm gonna do, if you don't know what I'm talking about, there's 10 slots. I'm gonna name one. She has to assign it number 1 through 10, number 1 being the most ridiculous, number 10 being the least ridiculous. Once you put a number in spot, it cannot move. So if we were doing like 1 through 3, best fruit, she put bananas, she put number 3, number 1, but then apples came after it and she likes apples more, too bad. Bananas are already number 1. Okay? And the hope is next week she'll have something for me, anything classically black related, anything viola related, anything Katie, anything music related, because I almost did Chip Flavors and I was like, we have a classical music podcast. Okay, so these are most ridiculous classically black episode titles.
Okay. One is the most ridiculous, right?
One is the most ridiculous. Okay. Let me make sure I have 10. Okay, here we go. Teton, Tenton, Tauntaun, Toten.
Two.
We always practicing.
Nine.
William Grant Marsupial.
Five.
On a scale of 1 to Clarence Thomas.
Did I say 8 already?
No.
Okay, 8.
Cheller.
Wait, I'm gonna say, let me write down the ones that I've done because I'm already forgetting. You know how my memory goes. So I know I've done 2. Which?
2 was Teton, Tenton, Taunton. I didn't know
what numbers I've done already.
Oh, 2, 9, 5, 8.
2, 9, 5, 8. Okay. Okay, put Chiller as a number 4.
You ain't get it.
Number 6, I guess.
You fob.
That's number 1. I was waiting for that one. I was waiting for that one. It's number 1.
What did it even stand for? Boofa, Bafa?
Yeah, Boofa.
Katie on Katie Crime.
10.
Okay. Decent Human C.
7.
Okay, so the only one that's left is 3?
3, yeah.
Which is Etc.
We have a... we have
So the order... According to Delaney, of most ridiculous episode titles for Classically Black, number 1 is UFOB. Number 2 is Teton, Tenton, Tauntaun, Toten. Number 3 is Etc. Number 4 is Cheller. I think there's multiple R's on that one. Number 5 is William Grant Marsupial. Number 6 is Ye Ain't Get It. Number 7 is Decent Human C. Number 8 is On a Scale from 1 to Clarence Thomas. Number 9 is We Always Practicing. It's also called WAP. Number 10 is Katie on Katie Crime.
I'm pretty happy with that. I think I did.
Yeah,
well.
I feel like that came out pretty good, actually.
Yeah, like period.
Well, looking forward to next week.
All right, we'll have you. I don't know what I'm gonna do.
I mean, there's plenty of other ridiculous titles, so you could do that again, but.
All right. We moving on?
Yep. Oh. See? God packing you up. What?
Wait, hold on. I'm pausing my thing. Hold on.
Oh, we're stopping. Oh, shit. Girl, you good?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay.
Wait. You hear about that, that tenor, that Spanish tenor that got married?
I feel like I heard something about it, but I heard it was, like, real messy.
Like, it was crazy. So, basically, like, the tenor, he had this girl that was, like, his friend or whatever, but they was messing around.
Wait, like, friend? Oh, like, oh, little friend.
Yeah, like, his little friend.
Oh, okay, okay.
And they was together. They was, like, trying to be together, but, like, she in this weird situation. Like, basically, she comes from money, and she got this family friend, or, like her godfather that's, mm-hmm. like, supposed to look after her, you know? And but he just seemed like weird, like he's mad overprotective, he's always in her business, and like I think basically just like wanted, his motivation was money, like he right. wasn't even really staying in contact with her for anything else, he just wanted her money. And so he was mad protective of her in that, like, he didn't even want her to be like seeing other people because he didn't want her getting attached, you know, spending her bag on them, and just like he didn't want nobody taking his place in her life. So when the dude, the tenor, like, was trying to get at her, they had to, like, sneak around and stuff. Like, they had to be, like, texting on a different account, like on a different Instagram. He made this fake Instagram so that they could, like, actually contact each other.
She better than, like, me, because I'm not doing all that. Like,
like, I'm literally grown. Like, I don't know what to tell
like,
you. Like, but I think... because like I've heard that with like even like celebrities and stuff, and they have a lot of money and they have people that's like in control of it.
Oh, like a, what's it called, a conservatorship.
Yeah, like yeah. I don't know if that's what she had going on, but like it was,
and
something
she got, she got a whole thing going on.
Yeah, like I don't know if it was a trust or what, but like so he wanted her money, and so he wasn't allowing her to talk to this dude. And so when they was sneaking around, they was sneaking around like in the middle of the night and stuff, like trying to see each other whenever the godfather wasn't around, mm-hmm. and everything. And then the godfather went through her phone.
Like, see, that's just doing too much. Like,
it's
you weird for that.
It's like, wait, I'm looking for that.
Like, you weird for that.
So when he found out that they was talking, he was like, nah, we nipping this in the bud. Like, and then he was like, I'ma marry her. The godfather.
But you know her, since you was a kid, you gonna marry, see, you on that weird.
Like, because after a certain age, like, I think, you know, because she has rights, you know? So right. I feel like he was trying to, like, he was just like, oh, I'ma marry her. Like, we finna get married. I'm not letting her go, basically. So when he goes to her phone and sees that she, like, she's planning on, like, possibly she's in love with this, the dude, the tenor, and it's like, I'm basically gonna get married to him. They talking about marriage, they talking about being together. So he takes her phone so that she can't even get in contact with this dude. But when he hasn't heard from her, like, his friend, he had this homie, which I'm like, you know what, that's a real friend right there,
right? Because like,
his homie was like, nah, let's go pull up on him. Like,
exactly. See, I love when men act like, man, yeah, we pulling
like,
up.
Let's see what the right. issue is. Like, so him and the friend, they break into her house, like, because he hasn't heard from her. And, like, he, at this point, like, they was waiting outside, but when they wasn't getting no answer, they was just like, we climbing through the window, like, whatever.
Period.
So they
climbed. I mean, it's a little. Breaking and entering, but like, I'm here for the plot.
But like, if he wasn't like genuinely worried for her,
right.
Like, but yeah. Since you know that she in that crazy situation, I was like, okay, you get a pass this one little time, like, yeah, this one little time.
This one.
So they break in, and she, of course, she's surprised to see him, but she tells him that like what the godfather is trying to do, like he's trying to marry her, like it's mad weird. He's literally going to bring somebody like a priest or whatever, like the officiant or whatever, so they can get married at the house. Like, so then they, but the dude was like, bad, like, when he get here, we finna get married. Like, period. That's the gag, because they already been talking about it. They already ready. So mm-hmm. they just, like, the friend or whatever is like, I'm handle it. Like, he stepped in or whatever. It was like, if the uncle comes or the godfather comes back, like, I'ma just handle him. Y'all do what y'all gotta do. But the priest showed up before the godfather. So they slipped him a little 1-2, apparently. Because when he came, he was like, well, I came to marry these people. But mm-hmm. at the end of the day, it's like, you're not the boss. You get it paid. So.
Right.
So they pay him a little bit more, and they got married before the godfather got back.
As they should.
Yeah.
And see, if the godfather really was on some real stuff, like, why would you send the priest, like, by themselves?
Right.
Like, if you really wanted to. Right. Or you should have gone with.
Like.
No wedding.
Right. So. I hope she get her stuff back, because I don't know if.
Oh no, I heard that the reason why they were able to get, like, he was cool with it at the end is because, remember the I heard something about he got the inheritance anyway. He got the money anyway. So that's why he was like, that's why he got some weird stuff, because he's like, you know, I got the money anyway, so it's cool. Hello?
That's great. See, when I get my bag, I'm gonna have to read up on this stuff, because there'd be so many little, like, rules and stuff about stuff like that. Like, you just never know. I mean, this was not in America, but still, yeah. You just never know.
Girl, that story crazy. Somebody should write it down.
For real. Sure. Could be a show. All right. I think I'm good.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, you ready to start?
Yeah.